Seat and let me invite Roy and welcome Roy to come and speak to us tonight. Why don't you welcome Roy?
Thank you so much. It's really great to be with you. I drove down from Rugby today, that's where I live, and I'll be driving back to Rugby hopefully this evening, although I understand there's been a little thing on the M2, just a little bit shut evidently. So hopefully they'll open it at some point for me to get on it. Thank you for coming this evening. It's a real privilege. I was in Leicester last evening, launching Hope 2018 in Leicester. And Liverpool and Eastleigh and Southampton and various places. And it's great to have the opportunity to share with you here in Canterbury this evening. What I want to do is just map out what the year could look like and what 2018 is. I'm not going to give a lot of history. Is that okay? Because Hope 08, which is where it was born out, happened in Canterbury. There are a number of things that you did as part of that initiative. So I'm really going to spend most of my time talking about the future. But I want to mention just a couple of things that are available to you. Obviously, this brochure that explains 2018. And we're going to be working through that a little bit tonight, particularly on this page, just to show what the year could look like. And you can get as many of these as you would like or as would be appropriate. I also want to mention two books that are available to you this evening at a special rate. The reason for that, very simply, is we took every good idea that there was in the word and action ministry in the church, and we put it in a book, which is this. And this basically has catalogued where really effective word and deed mission has been happening. And we put it together. It's a gift to you for £1. But if you can't afford £1, you can have one. Because we just love you to have it as a resource to which you can use. And then alongside that, we produced something this year, and I'll explain why we did it off the back of Talking Jesus research that came out in 2015 that really explained a number of things. One of the things the Talking Jesus research did for us, where we asked people in our society what they thought of Jesus, not the church, but of Jesus. We discovered that 57% of not yet Christians know a Christian. 57%. And they're either friend or family. We also discovered, according to this Talking Jesus research, that 1 in 5 of those people are open to an experience of the love of God. That's 20%. I remember one church leader, after I'd mentioned that, came up to me and said, "Yes, Roy, I understand that, but that means 80% don't." If you were in business, you'd go for the 20%, not the 80%. And so there are 20%, 1 in 5 people. We also discovered, of those people, and we surveyed 3,500 people, what led you to come to faith in Jesus Christ? 27% said they came to faith in Jesus Christ just from reading the Bible. So the Bible still has the power to change lives. Now, I know we know that, but sometimes we get a little bit weak on Bible distribution. It has a profound effect. When we produced it in 2012 around the Diamond Jubilee, 750,000 New Testaments were given out. And it was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, and it was the highest honor that man affords is the Word of God. So we gave that. And you just realize the impact of that. But alongside that, 28% of people came to church and became a Christian. Just an ordinary church service. So if we just improved our church services, we might do a little bit better. And friend-proof them and welcome them and all of that kind of stuff. But then we ask these non-Christians, what do you think of us as Christians? Isn't that a good question? It's a bit scary. Let me tell you what we discovered. They thought we were fun. Generous. Giving. Only 2% thought we were homophobic. Now, we should be encouraged by that. Because if you read the local press or the national press, you'll probably think everybody hates us. It's just not true. And the other thing is, they realize that it's the church that it's the heart of our communities. So who's doing street pastors? It's the church. Who's doing food banks? It's the church. Who's doing meals for kids that don't get decent meals out of school? It's the church. So they know that. So that Talking Jesus research shaped a lot of what we're going to be doing in 2018. Because if you do research, it's got to change the way you do things. And so that's on talkingjesus.org if you want to look at all that research and unpack it and look at the detail, because I won't be able to go through it all this evening. But in the light of that, we discovered that 42% believe in the resurrection. That's why they come to your Easter services. But so many of our church leaders, when we have visitors at Easter services, what we do is a Christian apologetic of the resurrection. Don't do that. They've come already believing it. But what they haven't done is experienced it. They haven't experienced the resurrection. Rico Tice, that runs a really big church, part of a leadership team in All Souls, it changed his entire Easter presentation when he discovered this research. That's why people are coming to your Easter services. So we produced this book, very similar to the Queen book that we produced in 2016. But this book, very simply, is just the Jesus story. And we said to people, if you come to an Easter service, we'd love to give you this book as a gift. It's £1, that's all. Should be six. But we want to make it available. So we say to you, buy 10 and give them to your friends. Because what we recognize through the Queen book is through the Queen book, people discovered that they had an opportunity to talk about faith. This book will provide the same opportunity. So if you want one of those books, they're at the back there, and both of them you can take, and they'll hopefully serve you in what we're seeking to do. And we're going to provide resources that just enable the church to be at the heart of its community and to be serving its community in that way. We've produced a little video that just explains what Hope 2018 will look like, and then I'm going to unpack that for you. So sit back and watch this video.
For us to build on, to invite people to the special service. invite to a Christmas meal. Together we can make a difference, but we need to be intentional. Talking about Jesus, listening to people's questions, and inviting them to find out more. We need to give people opportunities to respond to Jesus and grow as his disciples. Become part of making it happen. Pray and ask God what his vision of growth looks like in your church.
Amen. You can get that, you can show that in your church, you can access it. It's just been finished this week. It should have been finished a long time ago, but it took longer than we anticipated, as these things always do. So, Hope 2018. Hope really is just a catalyst in which churches can come together. It's an umbrella. So many, many places around the country, churches are going to put the banner of Hope outside their church for this particular year to say that we're part of it, and they're going to badge certain things during that year that they could do that just shows the community the church is working together. We're also committed to doing things together within the community as well. So we wanted to set a vision target for the year. And we want to put a number on it. And we have encouraged, and the thrilling thing about Hope is we've got every denomination working with us, which is phenomenal. Our leadership team consists of Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Anglican. They all sit around that leadership team. It's a bit of a challenge, but they all sit around the leadership team. And we were discussing what would be the dream, the aspirational dream for the end of 2018. What could we believe God for, as it were? And so what we came up with is if every church grew by 10% in 2018, do you know what would happen? We would reverse the decline in the church in a year. It can be achieved in 1 year. If we all do it. So it's every church. URC, Methodist, whatever. And if you're 30, that means 3 new followers. Because what we've done is we've done a lot of social and community engagement. We haven't necessarily seen that translated in people becoming followers of Jesus. So we're saying the pathway to that is really key and really important. But we're up for saying, could your church in 2018 grow by 10%? Could the churches in Canterbury, I know there's other areas as well, could the church, as a commitment to pray, to say, let's go for it? Let me tell you, to land on that as a leadership team was a big challenge. Because we've got all sorts of extremes. So are you up for growing by 10%?
Yes.
So do it. Pardon? Some people have said that to us. They think it's too low. But some churches have not grown over many, many years. So we wanted to kind of make it realistic as to where it could be. If you can grow by more, then do it. But we kind of said, across the piece, I think it's all achievable. And if you say 1 in 5 and that, I think we could all do that. And what's happened is already leadership teams and areas are discussing. In rugby, we've actually found out how many people are in the church worshiping community so that we know whether together we've seen us grow by 10% by the end of that year, all together. We often don't do that, but it means there's a bit of healthy competition. No, there's a bit of healthy praying and reflecting, because it's caused me to do a bit of research. Why do churches grow? What causes churches to grow? And you probably know the answer to this. Is it good worship? And you did an amazing job. But is it good worship? Well, it's a part of it. Is it good children's work? It's a part of it. Is it good youth work? It's a part of it. Or we've got church leaders here tonight. Is it brilliant preaching? Well, it's a part of it. Do you know the number one reason? The number one reason that churches grow is they believe they're going to grow. That's the number one reason. And it's borne out in Scripture, isn't it? In John 6, verse 28 and 29, the disciples asked the question of Jesus, what does it mean to do the work of God? It's a great question. Should we have a good children's worker? Is that the work of God? Should we encourage people to tithe? That's definitely the work of God. Should we encourage small groups? Is that the work of God? Jesus answered the question with, the work of God is this, to believe. So build faith. That's the work of God. Believers need to be believers, and healthy things grow. So that's where the 10% came from. But it's also where I've done all this research on church growth. And all those other factors are important factors, welcome, style of service, worship. But the number one is the leadership believe they're going to grow. And they keep telling people, we're here to grow, we're here to grow, we're here to grow. So that is what we've set as the first piece. Grow by 10%. And you've all agreed to that. Okay, the second piece that we've done, I'm not using the clicker. Are you okay? You're just doing it at the back there, my man. Thank you very much indeed. Is that we recognize that if we were to look at the calendar, we would recognize that God has given us some great Christian calendar moments that enable us to have reaping moments within our year. And my dream is at the end of 2018, there's a rhythm of mission that is in every church community, but also in every community that recognizes the Christian calendar. So we have been building around this. We've done some fascinating things. We recognize that Christmas is significant. It's probably our best of everything. Moment to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we started to realize is how do we help people talk about faith? Because we also recognize from the Talking Jesus research, and understand this, people out there, do you know a church leader? 1% of people in our community know a church leader. Which means the church leaders ain't going to do it. Sorry, guys, it ain't going to be us. But 57% know you. So we've got to help you to talk about Jesus. We've got to find ways to do that. We also discovered that they like us, but the problem is we don't have confidence to share faith. When we produced the Queen book, which was a miracle, and we did over 1 million copies, we got stories back in saying, for the first time, I gave someone a Queen book and discovered I could talk about my faith in Jesus Christ, just as a result of giving that book. I then thought about it and thought, there's some learning here. We need to give people an excuse to talk about it. We know you should all do it. But we don't. But the book and the Queen's 90th birthday and the fact that she was a follower of Jesus all built to say, I now feel I can talk about my Christ. So last Christmas, we produced this little magazine with another celebrity. Somebody said to me recently, Roy, you've got to stop going for older women. You went for the Queen at 19, Mary Berry's about 83. But many people didn't know Mary Berry had a personal faith in Christ. They now do because of what she did at Christmas, at Easter, around the Archbishop. But they didn't know then. And it was when Bake Off was kicking off. So we produced this magazine. It's a very simple magazine. It's got stories of footballers' faith. It's got a little piece for children. It's got a Mary Berry recipe. And we said, what we'd love you to do is knock doors and give this as a gift and invite people to your Christmas service, but leave them something. We printed 50,000 initially. We had to print 100,000 because so many people wanted to use it. One estate, they knocked, it was a brand new housing estate, they knocked the entire estate, knocked the door, gave this as a gift and invited them to the first Christmas carol service that they were going to do as a church. 57 people came to their carol service. 3 came thinking that Mary Berry was going to be there. So what we're going to do for you this year is we've secured funding that we'll be able to produce 1 million of a Christmas magazine. And we're saying to churches, whatever your Christmas event that you're going to invite them to, here's something to give. So when you give out food bank parcels, give them one of these at Christmas. When you do a carol service in the street or around the community, give them one of these. And also go down your street and give out one. And my prayer, because of our link with the Queen, is we're going to ask the Duchess of Cambridge whether she would be prepared to talk about her faith story, or at least her view of Christmas, on the front cover. See, I'm going for younger women. And a trust has agreed to give this to you. Free. Now, you can make a donation, but if you want it, the only goal is I don't want him sitting in his study come January. They've got to be used in the community. We then got full follow-up on this, and we discovered that people said, I've been looking for something that I can just give that's just talking about Christmas, that's from the church, with an invitation to the carol service that we're putting on in our community. Would that help you? Because we want the local church to look amazing. And so we want to resource you with that. So what we're working on is around these moments, these calendar moments, we want you to really see these as massive invitational reaping moments, building on the way you're serving your community. So also do the Christmas hampers. Also do carols in the street. We're going to produce a carol sheet for every one of your Christmas carol services as well that will be used in football stadiums. 120 football stadiums run Christmas carol services now because there's only 2 places where men sing. That is available to you free. So somebody comes to your Christmas carol service, they take it away as a gift, and it's got the story of Christianity and the Christmas faith, again, as a gift to give to people that come to your Christmas carol services. So, secondly, that's how we're going to do it. Next slide, please, sir. Okay, so what we have recognized, and there's a church in London that does this, is in the borough of Brent, they give a Christmas hamper to people in the community that wouldn't enjoy Christmas as a gift. And those churches all come together to fund it, and they give out over 5,000 Christmas hampers. And it's the best. It's got a lovely, it is, you saw the box that they were putting together. And that would go to all the food bank clients and other clients with a gentle invitation to say, we'd love to see you at our Christmas carol service, but gentle. Christmas is a big event, but it's a great event for us. And let me tell you something else as well. We need to provide opportunities for people to respond. And so last Christmas, I spoke at a number of Christmas carol services, and I was thinking, how do you get people to respond? To make a step. And so what I did at all those Christmas carol services, I got everybody to stand and just say a prayer thanking God for the gift of his son at Christmas that we all prayed. So everybody prays. And then I say, some of you have prayed that prayer for the very first time, but you're part of this family now. I'd just love to connect with you. And all of a sudden, people felt really comfortable. When you bring people out or make, it's ones or twos, and they think, well, where's everybody else? What is going on? But if everybody prays the prayer, they feel part of it. They're part of the family. And then there's one or two that have prayed it for the first time. You just connect with them. And there are ways that we can do that where there is a response intrinsic to the gospel. Appropriately, we can do that at carol services in a very appropriate way. But we need to be wise and sensitive. But nevertheless, there is a gift, and thanking God for the gift of his son at Christmas is a very natural thing for people to do. Amen? Amen. So, the hampers, that's where that fits into that. But this is our mantra. And it's become part of the DNA of churches. So the first thing is, we're saying to churches, as you prepare for 2018, prayer is key. But as with the Kingdom Come initiative, which was amazing, pray for five. Why? Because if it's 20% that are open to an experience of the love of God, if you pray for five, you'll get one. That's the principle. So pray for five friends, family members. Pray. I was in a black majority church a little while ago, and they'd caught this. And I went into the black, and in the foyer, they had a full list of names on the board. And I thought, what's that? So I said to the pastor, what's that? He said, that's our fives. I said, what do you mean? Well, everybody had to give them up with five names. I said, they're all on the list. He said, yeah. I said, what if they turn up? He said, they'll see their name. Thinking, and then some of the names had lines through them. I said, what's that? He said, those are the ones we've got, we've already gotten. I said, what if they turn up? Well, they already have. And it's just different. They just do things differently. But pray for five. Secondly, we've got to help people with something to say. We're going to produce a brand new course coming out in January on how to equip ordinary people to talk about Jesus. You see, I've looked and researched, we as a leadership team have looked and researched, most of the training and equipping is done by evangelists. And most of us are not. So they see an evangelist course and they think, that ain't like it for me. And most of our training is for passing people that we meet in the street or share spiritual letters or pray or prayer. But none of our training is the permanent. What if I see someone at work every day? I'm permanently in their presence. How do I share faith then? What if they're in my family? How do I share faith then? Most of our training in evangelism is passing. I met this person on a bus. And all the evangelists, they've got the stories. Or on a plane, if they're a real good evangelist. They're on a plane, and they swing the conversation round, and all of a sudden the person's talking to them about Jesus. Then they lead them in a prayer, and by the time they're getting off the plane, they're filling out a gift aid form. I mean, it is amazing. But ordinary people, it ain't like that. So I want a course that is for ordinary people. That has got Michelle the mechanic, who talks about how she does it in a garage, that talks about the guy in the bank. And we're going to produce a course that will be all those kind of people. that will just help you in small groups to discuss, with a short film that you can show on Sunday to hook people, which will have emotion and intrigue to get people to do this. Because we've got to open our mouths and talk Jesus. Wherever we are, but often it's friends and family, and that's where we struggle. It's the permanent relationship, because most of our training has been on the passing relationship. Do you understand? Is that true? So we're saying we've got to change that, and we've got to help you with that. So we're going to help you with something to say, something to give, Christmas magazine, Easter book, but it's a book for any time. We're going to produce two others as well, because there seems to be a dearth of stuff. I don't want to give you a journey into life or how to be a follower of Jesus. I want to just give you something that keeps you on the journey, that's just got something to give, just to keep this live. And then the final is something to invite. So inviting them to a service, inviting them to a special event, inviting them to some specific thing that's part of, but that invitation is key. So that's the mantra. So feed it back to me, something to... Something to...
Say. Give. Invite.
You got it. Next slide. So rhythm of mission. This is what we want you to do in the community of Canterbury. We want you to make every church during Easter Jesus Day, where you know the gospel is going to be preached in every church in Canterbury. Where you also do something in your community around Easter, maybe a passion play. Maybe you live link from Trafalgar Square. We're going to make available to every area. You can live link on Good Friday, 3:15 in the afternoon, the passion that will be done in Trafalgar Square. You could put a screen out in a park. You could put it out in a shopping center. That'll be available to you if you want to live link that passion. And it is amazing at Trafalgar Square. But it will be live linked to anyone that wants to use it. We're going to make that available to you. We're also saying, as a part of Easter in 2018, we're linking with prisons. And we're linking with prisons to bring hope into prisons. And we've got 40 stories of hope that are being written in the next 2 weeks of prisoners that have come to faith in Christ. I've got some amazing stories. Do you want to hear? No, I haven't got time. But some amazing stories. You want to hear one story? I'll give you one story, okay? Lee. Lee, most of kids that go to prison have been abused. Over 85%. That's how they get to where they get. So this poor kid, 21, somebody said to him, would you please take this package to Bangkok? He knew there was a risk. When he got to Bangkok airport, he's arrested. He was sentenced, and his sentence was 999 years because of the amount he was carrying. He was put in a cell with 40 other inmates with a toilet in the middle. The only way he got out of there and spent 5 years in there was to go into solitary confinement, which he spent 23 hours out, 24 hours a day in the 6 foot, and then he'd walk out for an hour. Anyway, in the end, he was released back to England. And he was still had to fulfill his custodial sentence, came back to England, and went to a prison in the north of England. Governor met with him and said, good news, Lee, we're going to reduce your sentence. Great. Yeah, we're going to give you 99 years. We decided to knock the 900 off. He said, oh, great, I'm really pleased. In that prison, he found Christ. And then he met with the chaplain, and he became a chaplain orderly. And he said, I want to pray that I'll get out. He studied his Bible, he learned, he went on courses, he just started to get his life together. He spent 3 years in that prison, and then they got a letter from the King of Bangkok to him in that prison, saying the King of Bangkok decided to give him a king's pardon. He was out within a day. He now lives in Stoke. He's a forklift truck driver. He's getting married this year. He's got his life together, part of a worshipping community, and his whole life has turned around because Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's going to be in the book. Those are the kind of stories. But churches together in Britain and Ireland have decided that they're going to make this book their Lent course. So we're encouraging churches to make their Lent course joint. And what we're saying is, you buy a book for your Lent course, but you buy one for a prisoner. And at exactly the same time that you're doing that course, there'll be prisoners doing the course in prison that you can pray for. And in 13 prisons to date, the governor has agreed to give this book to every prisoner, not just through chaplaincy. How amazing is that? That is amazing. So that will hook you in for Lent. And if you do a together thing for Lent, that is the course that churches together in Britain and Ireland together. It's going to be very different because the reading age is 11. So it would be very different to any other Lent course. But I think sometimes those other Lent courses are a bit too highbrow anyway. So this will be really practical, and it will be around Mark's Gospel. And you buy the book with the stories, but at the same time, you donate to prison so that prisoners can access the book. And it'll be £1 or £2. We haven't quite landed yet in that way. So that builds towards Easter. And if you don't do Lent, we're not calling it Lent, because in prison they don't do Lent. So it won't be called Lent, but it'll be to be used during that Lent course. And with churches together in Britain, that will be the one official one that they're going to do this year. Because Hope always partners with whoever we can partner with to make this the most effective it can be. Is that good news? Will that serve you? So part of that then builds into fun days. We want every church to do fun days. They all do fun days. It's all part of what churches do. Then harvest. Now, harvest is coming back onto the map, partly because of food bank. So we're saying, and again, we're going to resource you with this, we want you to just have food with friends at harvest. We've partnered with World Vision. We're going to give you recipes. We're going to give you ideas, and you just invite neighbors round and have food with them. That's it. Knowing that you will then invite them to Christmas carol service. But if people come to faith out of friendship, then your neighbours need to be your friends. So, I don't know what to cook, we'll give you everything. And if they want to make a donation to a third world country where they can't food, they can do that, but it's not conditional. The only thing is you pay for the food, you invite them, and you give them food with friends, and you just say, this is because of harvest. And you do your harvest suppers and everything else. So move on to the next slide. That would be brilliant. Thank you. So this is what it looks like. And you don't have to do it all, but this is what the year looks like for you. It's kind of got Easter, Pentecost. We are linking with Kingdom Come next year. So Hope and Kingdom Come are joining up in saying your will be done. To say let's pray and let's act. And then the final piece is Christmas, where we will produce another Christmas magazine to enable you to be effective at serving your community around the Christian calendar. Now, it's not prescriptive. You don't have to do any of it. You can do all of it. Or you could say, we want to do our own thing because it's Canterbury. And we just want to bless our community under the umbrella of Hope, which you can do. We just give it away. But the goal that we just feel we're a catalyst to have a go. And if you have a go, then we want to bless you as a church community and pray for you and connect in. Next slide, please. So this is a year of prayer and preparation. This is a time where we're encouraging groups to start planning. We're encouraging churches to start thinking. We're going to be going to Bristol with 1,000 young people from Soul Survivor to do a big thing immediately after Easter. And Together for the Harvest, they're doing a big thing in the summer. But the other thing that will happen in 2018, that again, it's just happening, and you don't have to do this, is it is the end, 100 years of the First World War. The government has already committed £10 million to invest in the commemorations and celebrations of the First World War. The 11th of the 11th in that year is a Sunday. So you've got to change your church service time. And you've got to be in the community at that point. And we have secured with the British Legion that we will produce a card that will be a gift to every person that goes to one of those remembrance occasions that will have a prayer written by the Archbishop of Canterbury and then a short reflection and Bible passage on the other side. This is a unique moment again. And we're saying to churches, do your remembrance, but if you look back 100 years, you will see that on that day, 100 years ago, there was also a massive party. There was. Now, they'd all known people that had lost. I mean, hundreds, young. But they just thought, it's over. So we're saying to churches, do the reflection, and then maybe do a hog roast in November. No, but do something that just builds a community experience and invite people to be part of it. But there's another little hook that we're joining up with, which is on August the 4th in 1918, the whole nation was called to pray for peace. That's 99 days before the end of the First World War. And we're saying during those 99 days, why don't you do peacemaking things within your community? Why don't you link with the local school? Why don't you link with your community and just do something that shows that we are peacemakers because we know the Prince of Peace. And you could do some expression. We're going to give you ideas and a menu. But just to think, in that period, what could we do together that would bring peace in our communities where we are, to join together, to connect? And then, 18, what does it look like? Next slide, please. Thank you, sir. Is we recognize what Bill Hybels says, that the only hope for the local community is the local church. We have the redemptive power to change hearts. It's the local church. So what hope really wants to do is make the local church look amazing and be the best it can be. So everything we do is to give away to make the local church the best it can be. But if you're really going to be the best and seek the blessing of God in Psalm 133 and John 17:21, you need to do it together. Because Jesus said, you come together for the sake of those who don't believe. They don't understand why we can't work together. It's confusing. You've got a Baptist church next to a Methodist church next to an Anglican church, and they don't talk to each other. And they're in the street saying, what's the matter with you lot? You're all in the same family, aren't you? Oh, no, 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 Baptists do it different to Anglicans. No, 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 no. Hey, listen, there's one body and one faith, and we're part of one family. But then Psalm 133 says, when we do that, he commands to bless. So we will be an amazing blessing to our communities, because there the favor of God rests. if we believe the best of one another, if we see the Church of Jesus Christ working together, and we serve and love our communities in both words and telling the gospel. Because we don't have to back off from that. People expect us to tell what we're about. So that's why we serve the local church. And let me tell you, it's got a lot of warts. It's got a lot of challenges. But it is still the vehicle that God has chosen to change the world. It is the local church. So you better love it. Because that's the vehicle God has chosen to redeem our communities. It is the local church. In conclusion, as we wind up, what I'd love you to do is to sign up and say we're in. But maybe before you do that, you want to ask me a few questions, which I'm very happy to take around any of the things that I've kind of said or shared with you. But in essence, we're just saying to you, let's, for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of this, let's work together in our communities. I have a little side dream. In 2020, there will be another census. They're not sure whether they're going to do it digitally or with paper at the moment. It won't come out till 21. My prayer is if we don't engage intentionally in evangelistic strategy, the Christian church will have declined massively in that census. My goal is in 2020, in the next 3 years, we've got the opportunity to reverse it. Because it takes every generation, and we can do it in a generation. Wouldn't that be good? So that's my little side dream. But this is just 18 and where we are now. So thank you for listening, and Hiram, and any questions?
Questions, anyone? Questions?